Blog Talk Radio.
Alternative facts.
The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. At 12:07 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, numerous unidentified objects of unknown intent and unknown origin were detected at high altitudes over multiple locations of Earth's outer space by the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, and these objects are presumed to be some form of controlled aircraft. It is not known if more of these aircraft will arrive or if they will attempt entering Earth's atmosphere. United States citizens are encouraged to monitor local media outlets, as more updates will follow as information becomes available. The following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. Attacks by the undead have been reported in several states across the country. The dead are rising from their graves and are attacking the human race. At this time, it is expected that more attacks of this nature will occur in several other states in the next few hours. The intent behind the attack is unknown at this time. He has been observed that a bike for exchange of fluids is a method of transmission. This is an extremely dangerous situation if they crave the taste of human flesh. It is not known whether this event will last for hours, days, or even longer. Stay calm, as authorities have been dispatched to deal with these creatures. An all-clear siren will be sounded when this situation is under control.
Your host, Rodney the Viking Shortridge, wants to give a big old shout out to the Facebook paranormal groups that allow us to post our shows on their pages and helping us to get the word out about all of our guests. If anyone would like to speak to Black Diamond Paranormal Society, BDPS, to discuss your paranormal questions or issues, go to our website at blackdiamondps.org or email blackdiamondps@yahoo.com. As always, our services are free.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You can listen in by calling 516-387-1922, or you can go to the Vibe Radio Network website at blogtalkradio.com/Vibe Radio Network. For deep within the heart of the Appalachian Mountains, I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for listening to Within the Chaos. My name is Rodney Shortridge, and I'll be your host tonight. First off, I'd like to give a shout-out to my cousins up in Ohio, Jennifer and Joe Shortridge of 222 Paranormal. If you get a chance, check out their talk show. You can find them on Facebook under 222 Paranormal. It works better when you turn the mic on, don't it? Well, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. This is the first time I've done a Thanksgiving show, so we're going to have a good time, relax, kick back, talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and some other things. Our guest tonight is Valerie Rasnick. Valerie is a paranormal investigator, and she's a sensitive. Valerie is new to the paranormal field, and she's always been a sensitive. She's still learning her abilities. She's also a model and an actress. She's started her own small business called Cat Chick Jewelry and Crafts. She makes different types of jewelry, soaps, and crafts. She also has a Facebook Live where she discusses myths and legends. And, well, enough of me giving you a hoedown. Let her tell you more about herself. Let me go ahead and get her on here. So now it's my honor to welcome our special guest, Valerie Rasnick. Yay!
Hello.
Did you already say, damn it, are you on?
I was going to wait a minute to see if you said, hello.
I was going to say, hello. Well, shit, another tech problem. Damn it. So how you doing
now,
tonight?
Well, I'm full still because I ate too much. But other than that, I'm good.
That's good. I didn't get to have Thanksgiving today. We're going to have it Saturday, so hopefully all my kids can be here.
Oh, well, that'd be good.
Yeah,
I went up and cooked.
How'd that work out?
It was all good, but I needed a nap.
You know, I've heard that everybody thinks that, you know, when you eat turkey, that the turkey is some kind of chemical in the turkey makes you sleepy, but it's actually where you overeat.
That's actually one of the myths that I'm going to talk about.
Okay. This is the second time she's been on the show, everybody. I'll let her tell a little bit about herself. And then she's going to tell us a few myths and legends about Thanksgiving. So the floor is yours.
Well, you pretty much covered it all before I got on here.
Well, shit.
Sorry.
Sorry. I didn't mean to take the wind out of your sail. Sorry about that.
Yeah, whatever. I'm fine. But, no, I am working on a website. For the Cat Chick, and it will have everything that I do on it, not just the jewelry, but, you know, everything from the crafts to the organites that I'm working on now and everything in between. So whenever it's up and running, then I will put it on my Facebook page so that, you know, people know where to go and how to do all that.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought since it was Thanksgiving, I would, you know, I usually do myths and legends, so I thought, okay, a lot of people don't know, you know, the Thanksgiving tale that we've all been told, I mean, not been heard. You know, where it was a big sit-down dinner and the Native Americans and the pilgrims all sit down and had a big old, big time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly the way it happened. But I found online a guy named Mike Rothschild has the biggest Thanksgiving myths and legends debunked. And I I researched a lot today, and I had a lot of contradictory things. Well, when I read this, I just thought it was neat, so I thought I would do that.
Okay.
The first one is Thanksgiving has been celebrated every year since 1621. The myth is that Thanksgiving has been celebrated every year since its first occurrence as a joint feast between pilgrims and Indians. Well, the reality is up until the 1940s, Thanksgiving had a spotty history of being celebrated after the first Thanksgiving, commonly thought to take place in late September or early October. There were periodic celebrations of Thanksgiving for good harvest among the 13 colonies. And the first national proclamation of Thanksgiving was given in 1777. Up until the outbreak of the Civil War, there were a random assortment of national days of prayer, humiliation, and Thanksgiving. Some presidents issued them every year, and some never did. So it was spotty up until, the next one. Up until they started having it on the fourth Thursday of November.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't always been celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. Thanksgiving was held on a wide range of days in November until the Civil War. Then, as a symbol of national unity, President Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be celebrated on the final Thursday in November in 1863. Subsequent presidents continued these declarations, and President Roosevelt solidified the holiday as taking place on the fourth Thursday of November in 1939. November had five Thursdays that year, and Roosevelt didn't want retailers, which that's how far back it goes for the retailers to miss out on a week of Christmas sales. Even for a few years after that, the holiday took place on the next to last Thursday of the month, and it was only in 1941 that Roosevelt signed a federal law making the fourth Thursday in November the official day Thanksgiving would be celebrated.
Cool.
When you think pilgrims, you automatically think of the black and white outfit, the big hat with the buckle and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the myth is that the pilgrims wore their usual clothing of black and white suits and buckled tall hats and shoes. Well, the reality is that this was actually a popular style of clothing in England, but not until the 1700s. It made its way into modern, at the time, depictions of the first settlers in the Americas, but it's not what they actually wore. Shiny metal buckles would be far too expensive to wear simply as affectations. And black and white garb, also expensive to make, would have been reserved for more somber church services on Sunday. The other days of the week, early American settlers donned the colorful clothing of people who wore whatever they grabbed before they set off across the ocean. The next myth is the first Thanksgiving was about two different peoples coming together in gratitude. And I think that's what we mainly think when you think of Thanksgiving or the first Thanksgiving. But the reality is the first communal dinner between settlers and natives was actually a harvest festival. An organized giving of thanks to God would have been a strictly religious service that was for white people only, and with no frivolity or joy allowed. It's far more likely that the settlers were enjoying the feast, the feasting and games that celebrated a good harvest, when the natives came by, drawn by noise and shooting. They were allowed to stay, and the myth was born.
I got a question.
Okay.
What you've researched, did the first Thanksgiving, did they really eat turkey or was it deer? Because I've read both.
Well, even though there was a lot of turkeys there, more than likely, because the Native Americans hunted and done this, they brought deer. So more than likely, they had venison. They also could have had, because of the river, you know, or the ocean or whatever, the water. They could have had, like, shellfish, lobster, you know, eels. All that was plentiful. So, more than likely, they had just whatever they normally ate.
Right.
You know, whatever they grew or whatever. Instead of, you know, like the mashed potatoes and gravy and turkey and all that that we normally, you know, that we associate with Thanksgiving.
Well, how do you know how, like, the traditional Thanksgiving today that we have, when did that change from what they ate then to what we eat now? Or do you know?
Honestly, I don't know if it was just, you know, somebody said, okay, I think we'll have turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's one thing about it in here. Actually, this one is about the hormone in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the... Oh, no, I found it. Hang on. Okay. We eat turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, and pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving because the pilgrims ate it. That's the myth. The reality is our traditional Thanksgiving menu is based much more on generally served at New England fall festivals and has become greatly customized by region. Depictions of the original Thanksgiving include mentions of fowl, but not turkey in general. Pumpkin might have been served because they did grow pumpkins in their gardens. But not in any kind of congealed pie form. While local vegetables and fish would have had a prominent place at the feast. And sweet potatoes weren't introduced into American diet until long after the pilgrims landed in New England. Being popularized by Spanish settlers returning to Europe from South America.
Okay.
So I think it just kind of, I think that each region kind of adapted their own, you know, Thanksgiving meals by what they had local. You know, just like the fish and all this, whatever they had, you know, was plentiful that they could eat.
Well, the Native American Squanto that helped the pilgrims, do you have any stories or legends or myths about him?
I actually did find one. Let's see if I can find it here.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually did read one about him. You would put me on the spot where I can't find it.
Sorry.
You're not supposed to do that.
I know, I'm sorry, my bad. Damn it. Damn it, Rod.
Okay. When the Mayflower landed in 1620, Squanto worked to broker peaceable relations between the Pilgrims and the local. Yeah. I can't pronounce it. The local natives.
Right.
He played a key role in the early meetings in March 1621, partly because he spoke English. He then lived with the Pilgrims for 20 months, acting as a translator, guide, and advisor. He introduced the settlers to the fur trade and taught them how to sow and fertilize native crops, which proved vital since the seeds which the Pilgrims had brought from England largely failed. As food shortages increased, Plymouth Colony relied on Squanto to pilot a ship of settlers to a trading expedition near Cape, around Cape Cod, and through dangerous shoals. During that voyage, Squanto contracted what Bradford called an Indian fever. Bradford stayed with him for several days until he died, which Bradford described as a great loss.
Does it say anything about Squanto being a slave and taken to Europe to learn English?
He, in 1614, Squanto was kidnapped by English explorer Thomas Hunt. Hunt brought Squanto to Spain, where he sold him in the city of, yeah, that one.
Yeah, there.
He was among a number of captives bought by local monks who focused on their education and evangelization. Squanto eventually traveled to England and from there returned to North America in 1619. He returned to his native village only to find that his tribe had been wiped out by the epidemic infection. Squanto was the last of the, that tribe. So he learned English, you know, he was kidnapped, but it actually, you know, I guess he was lucky he got to go to the monks.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible he was a slave, but, you know, he still died, you know, a terrible death because of the good white man.
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. What else I got for you? What else you got for me or what I got for you?
I don't know what you got for me.
I'm glad this ain't live TV. You can light a match off my face right now.
But no,
what you got for me?
Well, I thought those were pretty good because, you know, it tells that not everything that we were taught is accurate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We really need to, instead of just, you know, taking what we were taught, I think we need to kind of maybe dig deeper into certain things. And, I mean, I find it interesting to, you know, dig into the stories and find what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as we possibly can.
Oh, I agree. I was doing some research on this, too. And I came across where a community in El Paso in 1598, 20 years before the Pilgrims Festival, apparently they had a Thanksgiving celebration, and they claimed that they had the first one. And it was due to the arrival of Spanish explorer Juan de Onate on the banks of the Rio Grande. And then here in Virginia, at the Berkeley Plantation on the James River, they claimed the first Thanksgiving in America was held on December 4th, 1619, 2 years before the Pilgrims Festival. So there's a couple places are claiming before, but hey, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, I think it's a good thing that we do celebrate a Thanksgiving.
Sure. And I mean, if you really look at, you know, for whatever reason the Indians showed up,
mm-hmm.
they were, you know, allowed to stay, and you know they hunted, and I think they stayed for like over a week, but they camped outside of the settlement. You know, they hunted and they brought the deer and all this. And, you know, if you really look at it, people of different races, colors, whatever, can actually get along. If you allow yourself to. You know, instead of putting that ego thing in it, or, you know, I'm the whole my race is better thing. Because really, we're not that different.
No, there's actually...
We're all human.
You get down to the thick of things, we all bleed red.
Exactly.
So, you know.
And I mean, if we treat each other like humans instead of like something different because we look different, it'd be a lot better.
It would be a lot better world. I agree 100% with that. But
not saying it's going to happen, but.
The problem is when you've had the white man taking over the whole, damn near the whole planet, I can see why the brown man and the black man and the yellow man have a problem with the white man.
Oh, sure.
So.
Sure, but, you know, you have to think, back then, they truly thought they were superior.
Oh, yeah.
And people today think they are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's carried on even to today.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
all we can do is what ourselves. That's the only people we have control of, so.
That's right. Only we can make ourselves and the people around us a better world.
There you go.
Damn, that was good.
Thought for the day.
Put that on a t-shirt and sell it. Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm. Well, you also do modeling and acting. You know, what projects have you worked on or are working on that you could talk about? I heard Cole gone.
I mean, we are doing a movie. I can't really talk about it, but we will be a movie or show or both. Hopefully will be out next year. I can't talk a whole lot about it right now, but you know, we are working on something.
Can you tell us what type of thing you're working on? Yeah, like horror, drama, paranormal, action, X-rated?
No. Kind of a spooky comedy.
Oh, spooky comedy. You got the Wayans brothers in it?
No.
They think they make good spooky comedy.
They are good at that.
Well, when would you be able to tell anyone about it?
I will have to let you know. When it's done, that's when I can talk about it.
It's top secret, damn it.
Stop poking me, Rodney.
Quit. Okay. now I'm stuck again. Well, tell everyone about your art. You know, what type of art do you do? What type of crafts you do? You know, your whole business. Just from the start to what you doing. What you going to do with it, girl?
Well, I make crafts such as wreaths and arrangements and, you know, ornaments and things like that. And I make jewelry, everything from the, you know, the beaded jewelry up to polymer clay jewelry to epoxy jewelry. And I've been making organites, pyramids, jewelry, a little bit of everything. And if you don't know what an organite is, it is normally a pyramid, and it has metal and crystals and epoxy. And the epoxy draws in negative energy from the area, from the air. And the metals that are in the organites repel it back out into the air. And when the energy goes through the crystals, it's changed from negative energy to positive energy. So organites change the negative to positive. And depending on what crystals you have in it, because different crystals have different properties already. So when it goes through it, it also gives off the properties of the crystals.
Cool. So are you going to
be and all that?
So are you going to be set up? Have you talked to Tim about going at the Claypool Hill Mall for the Christmas holiday?
I haven't called him yet because I had to figure out when I was available.
Oh, okay. You're that busy, huh? Wow, busy girl.
Well, I've got my own business plus I work. Plus, you know, trying to get my house the way I want it. Because, you know, when you move in and you got to fix it.
Yeah, just throw everything. And to me, once when I first moved, I just put everything in one big spot. And then I'm like, I can't get around here.
I know.
I know, I've got everything sitting in boxes.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to dig. I know I got it in here somewhere.
Yep. And I don't know what box, so I just say, you know what, I'll do something else. I ain't digging.
Like, well, hell with that.
But hopefully soon I'll have, you know, everything cleaned out and put up and all that good stuff.
Well, how can people get, you know, if they want to see your work or purchase your work, how can they do that?
Until I get my website up and running, they can go to Facebook and it's Valerie Rasnick. They can, you know, I'm me on Facebook. They can, you know, just send me a message and, you know, I usually answer them pretty quick. And you know, if they need more pictures or whatnot, then I can send them those. But I will be putting a few pictures on, not everything that'll be on my website, but I'll be putting a few pictures on my Facebook page.
Okay, cool. Well,
but hopefully before long I'll have my website up. So,
is that a hint for me to get my ass in gear?
I mean, hopefully soon I'll have my website.
I mean, you've said it like five times, and I feel like it's been directed at me. I don't know why.
You know, a friend of mine's helping me. With my website. So when I get it up, I'm kidding. Hopefully next week we can work on the website.
All right. Okay. Well, what got you into the paranormal world? I know I'm shifting.
That's okay. I do that anyway. Actually, I've had experiences forever, for as long as I can remember, but I really didn't think about them as much as I did when I was older. You know, I kind of got interested in it the older I got and the more that happened. And then I met a friend, and she had a paranormal group, so I kind of went with her on investigations a few times, and then I started digging deeper and really got into it and, you know, figured out why I could do certain things and feel certain things and why, you know, things happened in my past. So I kind of got interested in it forever, but I really didn't dig and research it until, you know, the past few years.
Now you do have your own group or your own thing going?
I just started one. It's Ever After Paranormal. That's just recently been started. So, you know, we're trying to build it up a little bit. But, you know, I'm trying to get different investigations going and things like that. It's not that easy around here finding anybody that actually wants to be in your paranormal group, because they tend to look at you like, really?
Well, I've learned from people that want to be in your group, they might want to be in it long enough to do an investigation, but they don't want to do the work for sitting and watching the video, going through the audio.
Oh, God.
And
that's one thing people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to, let's go on an investigation and see what we catch. The fun part is the investigation. The work is setting it up and going through so much and listening for anything
or watching for anything. And you're sitting here and you're like trying to force your eyes to stay open. And you're looking for any little thing and listening for any little word that might have come through. That's the hard part.
Oh, yeah. And then
people don't realize the work that goes into it.
Oh, yeah. And then you're trying to give them to, they want to learn. And then you sit here with them and they're like, oh, my God, I just done 2 hours. Yeah. And you've got like 40 more hours to go.
Exactly.
They don't like that. But
no.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to keep a group with people willing to be dedicated to do the work.
Yeah.
I know.
And I mean, I understand it is hard to be, you know, to be in a group and be right there all the time when, you know, people do have lives. But
yeah.
If you're dedicated to it, you know, it's almost like a second job.
And if you put all the work on one person, eventually
yeah.
that person is going to get burnt out. And you've took
okay,
everything
sure.
away from that person, you know, the fun, the excitement, the, you know, everything about it, you stripped them of that.
Yeah, and it does turn into one of those jobs where you get up and go, oh, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, instead of that passion for it, you lose that passion for it.
Yeah. You lose the passion of it because of the people, and then the people that you have within the group throughout the years that say they're your friend and got you back, and then first chance they get, they're backstabbing you and stealing from you and all kinds of shit. I mean, I've done it for 11 years. And the stories. Well, you know what, stuff I've told and told over the show. And,
right.
You know, that's the reason why I'm out. I can't deal with it no more. I got to fix me. I've got a lot of problems, and Black Diamond just added to it.
Well, honestly, I think that as much as you had that passion to begin with, I think it will come back after you reset yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we all get kind of burnt out on things. And if you take like a sabbatical and get yourself back, then the passion comes back. You know, why you started it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of take another go at it.
Yeah, I hope so. I really did enjoy it, but the people that was a part of it for so long and the people I dealt with for so long, they just stripped me of everything that I was when I started. Now I'm just down to, I just don't give a fuck.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, you have to have people in your group that are of like mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have, you know, somebody, ooh, I just think it's fun, let's just go, I just want to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you have to have someone with the same thoughts and the same passion that you have in order to, you know, have a successful group. You know, you all need to go in, you know, for the same reasons.
And that's hard to find. That is,
it is
hard to find.
It really is. And, you know, like I said, this area, I don't know what it is about the paranormal, but people, I mean, I actually had a guy, I was talking to some girls at the store the other day, and they were interested in what I did. And I was talking to them about it. Well, there was a man standing there, and I said something about, you know, investigations, and he just kind of went, you know, like, yeah. And I just kind of looked at him and was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like they think, and I don't know how many people have said, oh, my God, you really do not believe in that, do you? Well, if you see it and hear it, do you not believe in it?
Well, see, that's like the Phantom Fest. You know, we only had 50 people come in. And that's only like 12 people more than what we had the first year we did it. I'm not going to do the Phantom Fest anymore because I found out that the churches around there were protesting against us, and I didn't even know anything about it.
No, I didn't either.
They were telling people in that area in Lebanon and Russell County not to come.
See, that's why not come and see for yourself.
Exactly.
You know.
But yeah, they told everybody not to come, and all that work for over a year, and it just boiled down to nothing. I mean, I appreciate the people that did come, but. You know, I really do. It's just, well, what's the point of me putting all that money out there and time and work when we can't even break even?
Well, and it seems like to me, the more you try to educate people about things, the more they rebuke it, or the more they scoff at it, and you know, sometimes I just want to, you know, shake somebody. But.
Well, you can't shake ignorance.
You know, well, that's true. Well, you can, but they're still ignorant.
Yeah, let's just put it out there. They're ignorant. They're blinded by one thing. And plus, where a lot of people know that I'm not a religious person, that hurts anything and everything I touch or try to do. It's like I got some kind of, you know, a disease that's going to kill everybody.
Well, you know, I think that the people who are against it or have this fear of it need to be educated on things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm out and somebody asks me something, of course I'm going to tell them about it because I don't want them to be ignorant of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been surprised actually at the people that, you know, they'll see me on Facebook or whatnot, and they start asking me about things, and they seem really interested in it. And I think before they didn't understand it, and now that I've explained it, you know, they're okay and they're interested in it. But so many people won't even let you speak about it. Or they won't let you, you know, talk to them about it because they have one thing in their mind, you know, and that's it. And there's no changing them.
That's true. I mean, I hate it. I really do. Because I thought it could be something good for this area, but I was wrong. It's something that this area is just not ready for.
No. And I don't know if most of the people, I'm not going to say all, I'll say most of the people in this area will ever be ready for.
I agree.
Because it is so drilled in deep down that paranormal is bad.
Yeah. And you're right.
So.
You're absolutely right. And I hate that because for you, me, the people that, you know, that are local, that enjoy it, and, you know, the people that came from way out of town that enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And and something to grow on, but it can't grow. It's not going to grow. Nobody in Southwest Virginia is going to help us make it grow.
No. And to be honest, of course, I didn't get to listen to all the speakers, but the ones that I listened to, I was like glued, because it's not all about, you know, goats and all this. There's scientific proof of things. There's, you know, there's things that people would enjoy, you know, and they just have this image, and, you know, they won't get over it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and I think a lot of it is fear. I think a lot of people are afraid of it. But, you know, I guess it's just the way people are raised a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. But it's okay.
Especially around here.
I tried, you know. I know a lot of people are disappointed in me because I'm not going to do it next year, but what's the point? I mean, I worked my ass off, and for me to lose money, and I'm a poor man. I can't keep losing money, and, you know, and at least, like I said, if I broke even, I'd be tickled to peak. But, you know, I lose money, you know, and plus we had like 9 damn speakers that's supposed to show up, didn't show up because they were sick. Which, you know, I'm sure some of them were sick. I'm just sure, you know, wait till the last damn minute to let me know they're not coming. I don't like that.
Right.
You know, I hate it that the vendors that didn't show up. I mean, they paid to be there, and then they didn't show up. I hate that, but
right,
ain't nothing I can do about that. I just wish the community would get behind it and more. When we first talked to them about it, they were really interested and seemed to get behind it, but. As soon as the event happened, they were a no-show.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I feel like I'm taking away from your time.
No, it's okay. I am thinking about possibly talking to artists and craftsmen in the area or surrounding areas. And possibly doing a craft show, craft fair.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Next week. Yeah. Uh-huh. Next year.
Mm-hmm.
Spring or summer. I've been thinking about it for a while, and I know you and I and our art and our crafts that we do, it's really hard to sell local.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it's hard to sell, period. But
yeah.
I know there's a lot of people out there that do, you know, crafts part-time and all this. And I think it would be a good way for all of us to kind of get together and, you know, show the communities that we're here, you know, that there are small businesses locally that you don't have to, you know, buy off Amazon. You can get it from us and help the local businesses, small businesses.
That'd be a good idea. Do it there at the Russell Center?
Yeah. I've got to call them and see when they would be open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've actually been thinking about that for a year or so. And I just think, I know several people who've written books, who've done different things, you know, make different things. And I think it would be a good way to get it promoted more locally.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, on the website or Facebook, but people can actually come in and pick it up and look and, you know, interact with the artist.
Right. It's a lot of work.
And that's why I've been thinking about it for like a year.
I actually thought about
connecting with some of the artists that I know and getting their opinions on it and, you know, things like that before I went any farther with it.
Right.
And set up, you know, when they think that they would be able, would be the best time, you know, kind of getting a little group advice.
Right.
On when they think the best time and all this.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Because I think we all, you know, I know you as an artist understand that, you know, we put everything that we have into our art and whatever we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people don't understand that. You know, if you're not an artist, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
And
that's
if
the reason
you
why it's so hard
meet the people. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I thought what I was saying was, if the people that don't understand art, that's the reason why it's so hard for them to buy it. Because they look at it, and they're like, you know, let's say you put 10 hours into it, and you just say you charge yourself, you know, a certain amount of money per hour, and then not
right.
counting the materials and all that. So you let's say you put $200 into that piece, and you're
mm-hmm.
wanting to sell that piece for like say $300, so you can make $100 profit or $250. They look at
mm-hmm.
it and they're like, well, that ain't worth $20. It breaks
right.
your heart.
It does. Because when one artist looks at another one, we can see the work that goes into it.
Yeah.
But people who don't do that, you know, they see just like they could get off Amazon for $20.
Yep.
But you have to realize what's behind it. You know, I know some of my organites take 3 or 4 days to make. And, you know, to look at it, it's just like you wouldn't think that it would take that long.
Yeah.
But so much, you know, work goes into them. You know, I can't really charge my price on it because I'm not making anything. And that's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
oh,
that's
I'm
one
right.
reason it's good to meet the artist.
That's the reason why
you know,
a lot of my...
You can see their passion.
A lot of my paintings, you know, I hate to even try to charge anything because I don't know what type of value to put on it. And,
well, that's
and you know, my daughters are like, you know, Dad, that's worth $50. I went, there ain't no way nobody's going to pay $50 for that. I said, I guarantee you, I can sell it. You try to sell it for $50, you ain't going to sell it. But I'll go out there and I'll say $5 or $10 and I'll sell it. And that's what happened.
See, that's my thinking. You know, I think, what is somebody going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at it and say, what went into it?
Yeah.
You know, because it's just the way, you know, the way we think. We kind of think, we need to start thinking as the artist instead of the consumer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we really do need to think about how much. But the problem is, when you do that, because I've done that, I can't sell nothing. Because
well,
nobody's going to pay what I put into it.
But that's another thing with the craft fair. People will pay more for the craft, you know, if they're right there and meet the artist and, you know, they can see.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like people tend to pay more at craft fairs than they would, like, buying it offline or online.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, I just think it would be a way for us to get it out there and say, hey, I do this. You know, if you need something, we can do this. You don't have to go, you know, you can just come to us and get it right then.
Right.
Instead of ordering it and waiting.
Now, don't either the college or the Southwest community or Claypool Hill Mall, don't both of them or either one of them have a, like a craft fair in the spring or summer sometime?
Now, I know that Claypool Hill Mall did do the Christmas one. I don't know about the spring, but they're not doing the Christmas one anymore, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the spring, I'll have to check. I know that the college does like an art show for the art students because last year, no, 2 years ago I was there and we had one for our art.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they like sponsor one locally or not.
Yeah, you need to, if you're going to do something like that, you probably need to find out if anyone's doing one around here and when they are doing one. Especially, you know, from like Princeton to Bristol, because, you know,
I could actually call my art teacher and find out if any of them is going on at the college.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. I'm glad you said that.
Well,
but,
you're
welcome. I mean, it's something. You know, if anybody that is an artist or, you know, author, anything craft-wise or anything like that, if you have any suggestions or if you'd like to do it, just message me on Facebook because, you know, I am interested in local artists or authors, or whatever you do, you know, bakers, all that, small business, and find your, I want your opinions on it, and if you'd be willing to do it, and all this.
Okie dokie. Well, I don't mean to jump on different go to another gear, but before we jump off here, because I'm not going to keep you the whole 2 hours. I mean, my gosh, it's Thanksgiving night. I know you said you're ready to probably go teepee-teepee after eating so much today.
I mean, I am full, so.
Yep. I don't want to be sitting here talking to you like, yeah. Be like, whoop.
One more thing about the Organite. Before you do anything else,
okay.
I can make them custom. You know, if there's certain things you would like to have in them, certain energies you would like to give off. You know, you would like to for them to give off or anything like that. I can make them custom made.
Oh, cool. Well, does that have anything, I mean, because that's where I'm going about you being a sensitive, you know, what is a sensitive and what does that entail with your experiences of being a sensitive? Does that add to the things you create?
Actually, it does. It has a lot to do with it because as I'm making my organites, for example, I tend to put a lot of my own positive energy in them.
I try to never, and it sounds weird to anybody that doesn't know anything about organites, I try not, if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm upset, or I will not work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm putting that energy in them. So I tend to, you know, listen to music or something like that while I'm working on them, and that puts positive in energy into the organites.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're not full of negative when you get them, and they only give off positive.
Hmm.
And as far as being, you know, a sensitive, it's more like I can kind of feel the emotions of others. And it's taking me, and I'm still not great at it, but it took me, it overwhelmed me at first. Now I've learned how to pick out my own emotions, separate them from other people's.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still hard for me to be like in a crowd, or like there's no way I'd be caught dead in Walmart tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like going Christmas shopping because, believe it or not, there's so much negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
It just overwhelms me. And it's too much to separate. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've actually left a store before because I just couldn't handle it.
Right.
But in the paranormal, I can kind of feel the emotions of the spirit. You know, I can kind of feel if they're there and feel what their emotions are,
mm-hmm.
or were, or, you know, were, still are, whatever. And a lot of times I can hear them, but I can't really see them, but I can
mm-hmm.
feel them and hear them. Occasionally I catch glimpses, but it's more so the feeling.
So can you feel emotions of people that are around you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Hmm. Oh, man. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's for another discussion.
By the way, ex-husbands hated that.
They did.
Yeah.
They're like, damn it.
But, you know, back then I didn't really know what was going on. I just knew that I could, you know.
Yeah.
But I can actually, now on occasion, I can be watching a movie and kind of feel what, you know, I'll have to turn it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it's kind of hard to explain, but it's just a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, before I let you go, is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything else on your mind? Anything you want to shoot about?
I think we've covered about everything.
Well, not really, but hey.
I do appreciate you having me back on the show, though.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you fucking asked and reminded me. I am so, here lately, I've been so forgetful, and they've got me on some new medication, and I can be working on something and forget what I'm doing, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? What am I writing? What am I typing? I had to go to the doctor and talk to her about that Monday, and she's got me on something different now, so hopefully I'll take that away, but yeah, anytime you want to come on, just say, hey, Rod, man, damn, invite me back on. Come back. It's beautiful. Yeah, and some
well,
people,
hopefully,
I'm really surprised people want to come back on my show.
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of want to keep my name out there knowing that I do have things for sale, people.
Yeah, and... No, she's got great stuff. She made me a little black diamond thing I got on my mirror on my band. And love it. And she's made these, she's talking about them pyramids and stuff. I've seen all of her work. I just think I'm poor. I can't buy nothing. I'm sitting there trying to help her pull that stuff where she works. On. I'm telling you, this girl's stout. I'm trying to pull that shit out. I'm a big old boy. I can't get it out. And she just pops right around her out. And I'm like, yeah, boy, I feel bad.
Well, I mean, you that like I was saying, people don't know the work that goes into it.
No, they don't. And that's with anything. People just don't understand the work that someone does, whether it's crafts, artwork, the paranormal, or any job. Until you walk in somebody else's shoes for a day, you have no idea what the fuck they're going through.
No, and that's why I've learned never to judge people, because you don't know what they're going through.
Yep, that's me. I don't judge people, because that's terrible to judge people. I don't know. That's a whole different discussion. We'll be here another 45 minutes. And be like, damn it, I want to get off here and go take me a nap, boy. But yeah, anytime you want to come back on, just let me know. And matter of fact, I might, if you want to, December, let me look this up, because I'm going to have Ken Gerard, what is his name, he's probably going to kill me for saying that, I probably got his name wrong, Ken Gerard, he's coming on 12, and he's only going to be on for an hour. If you want to call in after I get off with him, and we can shoot the shit some more, and you talk a little bit more about your stuff and anything else you want to talk about.
Okay, that'd be great. And hopefully by then we'll have the website up.
Yes, it will be up. Yes.
Well, sounds good.
Sounds like she's saying it's my fault, and I think it's my fault. It's my bad.
It's not. It's really not. It's my fault.
It's her fault, damn it. Not mine. Well, my Valerie.
Fault. I'll take responsibility.
Like I said, I appreciate you coming on, man, you know, especially on Thanksgiving. Like I said, get a hold of Tim and see what you can work out about coming up here to the mall and selling your stuff, because I'm telling you, on the weekends, they have a lot more traffic up there than what you might think.
Yeah. I mean, I know last year when we done the Christmas thing up there, there was a lot of traffic.
Oh, yeah. And see, you know, from what I've seen, there's going to be a lot more people come this year for their photos than what they have past couple years. Since Angie's out, it's all me. So I have a hot feeling I'm going to get nailed, which is good.
Yeah, so hopefully I can set a table up there close to you all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then when people are waiting or whatever, they can come and browse.
Yeah, I know last year.
Do some Christmas shopping.
I think I can't remember if it was Easter when we done the shoot or last Christmas, but there were some people that were set up that were selling jewelry up to near where Kmart was set up or in that area. And apparently they were up there the whole time we were there and done good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I can come up there, you know, when you all are doing pictures and catch some side traffic.
That's right. It'd be like, hey, come on over here. Come over here.
You got to wait on them people. Come over here.
you in line. Come over here and look at my stuff. You need a Christmas present.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to jump off here. I'm going to let you go and get some rest and enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving. And, again, thank you for coming on the show. If you want, we'll get you on for a little bit on the 12th after 10 gets off. And we'll shoot shit some more.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. If you need anything, give me a holler.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, bye. Well, everybody, that's it for us. I hope everybody has a great rest of Thanksgiving. Remember, next weekend, not this weekend coming, but on December 7th through 8th, that's when we start our Christmas photo shoot at Clickle Hill Mall. At Clickle Hill, Virginia, Saturdays are 11 till 8, and Sundays are 11 till 6. So, CD's $20 for 7 photos. Come on down. Get your Christmas photos done with Santa, without Santa, with your pets, without your pets, with your kids or without your kids, however you want to do it. But that's it for this weekend of Within the Chaos. So, everybody have a good night, a good weekend. That's it for us tonight. I want to thank everyone that took the time to listen in. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Vibe Radio Network and to Ryan for putting up with us. Also to all the first responders and our men and women in the armed services. Thank you for your service and the sacrifices that you and your families make every day to keep our great nation safe. Tune in next week to another exciting show starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everyone can go to our Facebook page, Within the Chaos, and don't forget to like our page to see upcoming guests along with past shows, postings, or you can also go to my website at www.blackdiamondps.org or blogtalkradio.com/Vibe Radio Network. Also, we have a YouTube channel, so go to YouTube, look up Within the Chaos for past shows. Thanks again. Until next week, everyone have a safe weekend and have a good night. And love you all. Be careful out there.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. For those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are not cattle, you are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future, and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie, they do not fulfill that promise, they never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!